Heavenly Father, I think it's exciting that the saints were here to start the new year right. We're in the house of God. And Lord, may you bless all of us in 2017 as we serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In 2017, Lord, may you move upon the church. May you move in all of our lives. May you keep us healthy this year. May you keep us on fire for you. May you give us many opportunities to share our faith, to invite people to church. May you grow both of our sights. May we honor you with our finances, with our life, with our work, with our play, with our family in 2017. Lord, we give you this year. We give you our life. We pray, Lord, for our country. It's going to be a new president real soon here. And so we pray for wisdom. We pray for godly Christian men to give and women to give him good advice. We pray for wisdom and help in our country and in the world. So many issues going on. Father, pour out your spirit upon our lives here this morning. Speak to us in and through your word, and maybe this, Lord, will be the year that you come back, and that would be okay as well. That would be exciting. We pray, Lord, again, we pray for all the lost people in the Mars, Cranberry, Franklin Park, the Butler area, that many would come to know Jesus this year. Bind Satan from our lives and from the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to go on a cruise. We're going to go on a cruise this morning. Robin and I went on a cruise a couple of weeks ago, and so I thought, you know what? Maybe you guys would appreciate a cruise for the first of the year. This is the Titanic. This is the cruise we're going to go on this morning for the first of the year. The Titanic was an amazing ship. It was the largest ship in its day. Of course, you know it sank on April 14th, 1912. So about 4 years ago was the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. It was 882 feet long. It had elevators in it. Back in 1912, even the buildings in New York City didn't have elevators. So that was really something to have elevators. It had a roller rink inside. And of course, I love roller skating. It had a bowling alley. It was the ship to be on its maiden journey. It had 15 watertight compartments in order to make it unsinkable. It had a 6-inch double-plated bottom. There were no passengers that ever sailed the world that felt more secure and safe in the Titanic. The engineers who designed it, the builders who built it, the crew that sailed it said it was an unsinkable ship. In fact, in the newspaper, it was published that God himself couldn't sink this ship. I think it's always scary when you put out those kind of dares, perhaps to God. I don't know. Sometimes I think the United States of America, sometimes I think we're the Titanic. That we think we're the unsinkable nation. That we're the most powerful, wonderful, strongest nation in the world. And unfortunately, it's been during my lifetime that it's like, hey, because we're unsinkable, who needs God? And so we've eliminated God out of government, schools, and every way we can, and the Ten Commandments and all this stuff. But you know, in the last 30, 40 years since we've been eliminating God, there's been more hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, devastations, diseases, wars, economy problems than we've ever had. Maybe we need God after all. Well, I want to share with you about that night where that Titanic became the largest coffin in the world. About 700 people were saved, and 1,600 went down with the ship. The more I studied the Titanic, I was like, wow, there's all kinds of... It was as if the dare went out, God, you can't even sink this ship. And God decided, you know what, I'm going to teach you all kinds of lessons about this ship and what we can learn. After the ship sunk, there was an editorial cartoon. And in the cartoon was the iceberg, and the ship was leaning against the iceberg, and it was sinking into the water. And underneath the editorial cartoon, I made one up. That's not the original. I couldn't find the original. I could read about it, but I couldn't find. But underneath it said, fact defeats theory. Theory said that the ship was unsinkable, but the fact is it sunk. Theory said that there were no icebergs in the area, but the fact is there was one iceberg in the area. Theory said that the lookout in the crow's nest would have ample time to warn the person steering the ship that there was an iceberg ahead, but he didn't actually have enough time. They said that if the ship ever hit an iceberg, the ship would either cut through the ice or the ship would just come to a dead stop, you know, hitting the iceberg. But in fact, the ice actually cut through the metal. And the scientists had to go back and go, wait. Now we know, by the way, that water, if you put water at a high speed, can actually cut through metal too. So, you see, fact defeats theory. Well, when it comes to the Bible, God says in Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, God's word is the iceberg of God's facts. And then man has all kinds of spiritual theories. Men are famous for saying, well, I think I'll probably get away with my sin. But the fact is, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, some theory is, well, I think I'm good enough. I think my good works will outweigh my bad works. That's a good theory. The fact is that the Bible says, hey, you can't be saved by your good works. Our good works in God's sight are filthy rags because they're all tainted with sin. You have to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, another theory is, I'm not sure whether, I don't know if Jesus would send anyone to hell. Well, the fact is that Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Well, even if I go to hell, I think I'll eventually get out. That's a good theory. But the fact is, Jesus says there's a great gulf fixed between paradise and those that are in hell, and neither one can cross to the other side. Fact defeats theory. Well, on the ship, there wasn't enough lifeboats. There were 20 lifeboats on the ship. Each lifeboat could hold 60 people. So that would be 1,200 people. There wasn't enough lifeboats on the ship. In fact, the Titanic originally was to have zero lifeboats on it. Why would they put zero lifeboats on the Titanic? It's an unsinkable ship. So how is it that 20 lifeboats wound up on the Titanic when there wasn't designed to have any? We actually have to thank the decorators. The ship was complete. The decorators were looking at the ship and are saying, something's wrong. The ship just doesn't look right. You know what it is? We're so used to seeing lifeboats on it that it's like part of the decoration. Let's put 10 lifeboats on this side and 10 on the other side. It wasn't to rescue the people. It was to make the ship look right for the decorators. And they really got smart. In the lifeboats, this was a new, and this is rainwater would get in the lifeboats. So they put a plug in the bottom of each lifeboat, because you would never use them. You would unwind that plug, and the rainwater would drain out of the lifeboats. Well, unfortunately, one of the plugs was missing in one of the lifeboats. And so when the people got into that lifeboat, they got into a mini Titanic. That kind of reminds me of the people realize that the world is a mess. People realize, I know there are people, I think if people don't have Jesus Christ, then they look to the president. They look to the Democratic Party to save them, or they look to the Republican Party to save them, or they look to money to save them, or they look to alcohol and drugs to save them, or whatever. When they don't have Jesus, a lot of people get into, they realize, oh, I need to do something, and they get into the lifeboat that the plug is missing. So people will get into New Age. The plug's missing. They'll go to Jehovah's Witnesses or to Mormons or to drugs or to atheism or whatever. And unfortunately, the plug is missing because the plug, you see, is Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one gets into the lifeboat and gets to heaven unless it's through Jesus Christ. Well, not only wasn't there enough lifeboats, but there wasn't enough life jackets either. And why was there not enough life jackets? Because it's an unsinkable ship. Well, on the Titanic were the 8 richest people in the world at that time. You see, the Titanic was the first voyage of this kind, of the largest ship, larger than any military ship, and anyone that was anyone was on this ship. In fact, the night that it sunk was like a New Year's Eve celebration, by the way. I'll tell you why in a second. Levi Strauss. How many of you wear Levi pants? Yeah. He went down with the ship. All that money, gone. Lots of money being made since then. Guggenheim, Mr. Guggenheim. In New York City, I've gone to his museum named after him. There's an art museum, the Guggenheim Art Museum. Yeah, he went down with the ship too. The richest man in the world at that time, John Jacob Astor, was on the ship. If you compared his wealth proportionally, if he was alive today with the proportion of wealth that he had, he would make Bill Gates look poor. That's how wealthy this guy was. He was on the ship. They offered him a life jacket near the beginning when they thought the ship might be going down. And John Jacob Astor said, you know what, I don't need a life jacket. People get worried. People panic. The ship is not going to sink. We don't need life jackets. At the end, when the ship was going down, it was reported, someone said to John Jacob Astor, where's your life jacket? Oh, by the way, at the end, I don't know if I should pick on Scott. Hal, I'll pick on you. I'm John Jacob Astor. You're in the lifeboat, right? You're getting one of the last seats. Look, I will give you $10 million if you give me your seat. What do you say? No. Hey, I like a guy who plays a hard bargain. I know you. $20 million. No. What would you do if you were John Jacob Astor and Hal won't give up his seat? I thought what I would do is, look, I'm going to pay all the rest of you $5 million if you throw him out. So at the end, it was recorded, they said to John Jacob Astor, where's your life jacket? And he went, I didn't think I would need one. I didn't think I would need one. Kind of reminds me of people that someday, all of us, we like stand before the judgment seat of God. And can't you picture people in a line? And some people have the life jacket. They've got Jesus. And then there's other people that don't have the life jacket. And you can see some of the people that got the life jacket saying to someone else that's in the line to stand before God, well, why didn't you give your heart to Jesus? Why aren't you prepared? And you can see them going, I didn't know I would need him so soon. You understand, I was planning to give my heart to Jesus. I just wanted to wait until I kind of lived my life first. Or I had no idea that I was going to drive home from Life Point Alliance Church and get into a car accident, that car would cross over the double line texting and die. I had no idea I was going to be here in heaven standing before God's throne. I had no idea I was going to have a heart attack. I thought I was healthy and fine, and boom, I had a heart attack. I'm here. I didn't know it was going to happen so quick. In fact, I've been pastor long enough to know that very few people actually kind of know when that day comes. But people procrastinate. They put it off until sometimes, unfortunately, it's too late. Well, I have to show you an interesting article that I got. Let me see. I don't know who to pick on now. Ron, come on up here. Come on up, Ron. So, Ron, I want you to read this article and tell everyone here. Let me get you a mic. Tell everyone, here's the percent. Here, turn this mic on here. Share the percentage of women, children, and men that got saved on the Titanic there from the yard.
Okay. Women was 72.8% survived. Children was 50.4%, and men 19.8%.
Everyone got that? So how many women?
72.8.
72%. How many children?
50.
50%. How many men?
19.
All right, thank you. I just want you to confirm that newspaper article. I'm going to share something with you that's weird. You're not going to believe this. You notice that there were more women saved than children, right? And men that were on the ship. You're not going to believe this. This is unbelievable. The culture of that day, 100 years ago in the United States. They actually honored women above men and children. I know, that's crazy. There was like this special respect that they would give women. They would not allow women to go to war. Men would say, no, we protect you. In fact, the men would teach children. They would say to the children, women come before men and children. We honor moms. We honor wives. We open doors for them. We put them first. We don't send them to battle. We care for them first, kids. And they actually taught that. Can you believe that? That's why more women wound up in those lifeboats than even children and men. But we've come a long way now, and we don't do that anymore. Oh, no. Women are right at the same level. In fact, Obama now says that women are going to be able to do combat and the same as everyone else. So I have a theory. Let's say that the Titanic, let's say it's the Royal Caribbean, that's what we were on. Let's say the Titanic happened today. Okay, in 2017, it's going down. There's not enough lifeboats. There's not enough room on the lifeboats. Who would be in the lifeboats today if the ship was sinking and there's not enough room for everyone? Who would be in the lifeboats? The crew would all be in the lifeboat and all the men. So long, dear. We'll see you, kids. Because it's a free-for-all. It's all, who cares about anyone else? We're all for ourselves and not for anyone else, you know? And we don't have that kind of respect that we did back then. So all the men would be in the lifeboats. Here's the other question I have. So you understand how more women got in the lifeboats than even children and men. But here's my question. How did 19% of the men get into lifeboats? Does anyone know? How did 19% of the men get saved? Well, I'll tell you. The first lifeboat was being lowered, and the crew was literally begging the people to get into the lifeboat. But the people said, the ship isn't going to sink. We're not going to get into that lifeboat. The women, you see, the ship got hit by the iceberg at 11 o'clock at night. All the banquets and balls were going on, and the women were decked out in their dresses and outfits. When the crew said to the women to crawl down the ropes to get into the lifeboats, the women were like, I'm not dressed in my lifeboat outfit. I've got furs. The women wouldn't put on the life jackets because they're like, this clashes with what I'm wearing. I'm going to have to go back to my stateroom and change. The women wouldn't get in the lifeboats. But they were able to talk some of the men. So in the first lifeboat, remember, how many did I tell you fit in a lifeboat? 60. The first lifeboat left with 8 men in it. The second lifeboat left with 10 men in it. The third lifeboat left with 12 men in it. Okay? And it went that way for a few more until there was a few explosions and stuff like that. And then everyone decided, it was interesting, the women decided, wait a second, I think I can get my heels off and get into the lifeboat after all. So the men that got saved were the men that got into the first lifeboats until they realized there wasn't enough lifeboats, and then it became women first before men and children. So in other words, here's the interesting thing. Anyone could have been saved on that ship. Anyone. If they had just gotten in the first four or five lifeboats that they were literally begging for people to get into but wouldn't get into. So, but there were obviously some very men that said, you know what, I don't know if it's going to sink or not, but I'm going to get in it anyway, just out of precaution. You know, the Bible says, today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart against the Lord. Don't procrastinate. The men who didn't procrastinate, those are the 19% that got saved. The men who procrastinated, they went down with the ship. Oh, there was a ship not far away that actually could have saved everyone on the Titanic that actually watched the Titanic sink that fateful night. And so in Washington, D.C., there was a senatorial investigation where the captain and the first mate of that ship that could have saved everyone on the Titanic had to answer for why they didn't respond. And so they said to the captain and the first mate, didn't you hear the cries for help on the wireless radio? And the captain said, we didn't. At midnight, we turned it off because we're all going to bed. So we turned off our wireless at midnight. And then the senators asked, didn't you see the flares go up? Here's a couple pictures of the flares. And they said, yes, we did see the flares. But remember I told you about New Year's Eve? You see, just about an hour before, the Titanic did a fireworks display off of the ship. It was the night fancy balls, and everyone went out, and they did this huge firework display. And so when the crew on this big freighter ship saw the flares later on, they thought it was just leftover fireworks. Right? You've seen that, right? Fireworks of Mars, and then you see some others, and you're like, oh, that's, you know, someone else or some leftovers. And so that's why they didn't respond. Well, didn't you see the ship sinking deck by deck into the water? Yeah. Well? And they said, well, it was boasted that the Titanic was the fastest traveling boat there was, which it was. We thought it was moving so fast, we thought it was going off the horizon. We didn't realize it was stationary, sinking in the water. We thought it was moving, going off the horizon, and it just looked like it was sinking. Listen, Christians. People need the Lord. But often we have our wireless turned off. That's the wireless of the Holy Spirit trying to speak to us, to tell us, hey, you need a witness to your neighbor. You need a witness to that coworker. You need a witness to your family. You need to share the gospel. They're lost. They're dying. But so many Christians have their wireless shut off. They don't want to hear God bring conviction on who to share your faith with. Or sometimes you mistaken the flares. Like the world goes out and parties and gets drunk, and you think it's fireworks. You think they're having a lot of fun. My opinion is that's flares for help. You know, they're now legalizing marijuana, so more and more people can get high. It's like, hey, we know the world's miserable. They're down. They need a savior. And now everyone can get high on marijuana. Do you understand? That's not fireworks. That's flares for help. When people are smoking marijuana, they need help. They need Jesus. When they're partying and going after money and all that stuff, and you think, oh, man, they're not interested in Jesus. That's all fireworks. Look how much fun they're having. They're not having fun. That's flares for help to share Jesus. Take your Bibles. All right, now you can turn on the lights for a second. 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Now, let me ask you a question. Here's a time machine. So I want you to think this question. I want someone to answer this. Let's say you've invented a time machine in your garage, and you get into it. It's finally ready to go. You spin the dial. You don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, you find out that you land in your time machine on the deck of the Titanic. It's an hour before it's going to hit the iceberg. You didn't bring enough neutronium, whatever that is, to get off. You're stuck on the Titanic 1 hour before it's going to hit the iceberg. What do you do? I hear a pray. All right, how many? Let's warn the captain. Let's tell him what's going to happen ahead of time. Here, quick. So here's the ones that go tell the captain. Captain, the ship's going to hit an iceberg. It's going to sink. It's going to slice through it like a hot potato. We're going to go down. The captain says, crew, obviously this person has too much to drink tonight. Put him in the brig until morning because he doesn't realize he's on an unsinkable ship. And so you go down in the brig, drown, die. What did you accomplish? Anyone else have a theory what you should do? Come on, let me help you out. Men, what should you do? You find yourself on the Titanic 1 hour before it hits the iceberg. Tell me, men, what are you going to do? Get into a lifeboat. Just as they're lowering it down, you can pull back the sheet and say, hey, I'm already in. Check to make sure the plug's there, right? I'm already in. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? So there's people that just going to make fun of the second coming of Jesus, okay? Verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and with water. By water also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for what? Fire. Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Listen, you thought I was talking about a ship, didn't you, when I was talking about the Titanic? You thought I was talking about a ship, or maybe even the United States. But I hope everyone understands you are riding on the largest Titanic I know of, called the planet Earth. The planet Earth is sailing through the universe, through space and time, but it is destined to hit the iceberg of God's fiery judgment. I don't know when that's going to happen. I know it's going to be soon. I read about it in Revelation, and I know people are scoffing. Oh, no, the earth will always go on. It's unsinkable. But I'm telling you, the earth is going to hit someday. It'll be like a thief in the night. It'll be a surprise, just like the Titanic when it hit the iceberg. It'll be a surprise, and judgment will fall. Why hasn't it happened? Because God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God's patient with, like, hey, get into the lifeboat. Give your heart to Jesus. I'm giving you some time. You're on the Titanic. Get into the lifeboat. I don't Why don't I worry? To be honest with you, it doesn't matter to me whether Trump is president, Hillary's president, Obama's president, stuff with Russia and Israel and all this. Why don't I lose a whole lot of sleep about it? Why? God's timing, but I have something else why I don't worry about it. I'm not getting high on drugs. I'm not drinking. I'm not taking anxiety medicine. I'm in the lifeboat. Amen. Do you understand? I'm in the lifeboat. I'm in Jesus. I already know the world's going to go downhill. I don't know how fast it's going to happen. Maybe I can help slow it down. I don't know, but it doesn't. I'm in the lifeboat. See, if I was on the Titanic, I took this time machine, I'd get in the lifeboat, and then from the lifeboat, I would shout up to the other men and women, hey, I really think you should get in here. I know you don't think it will sink. Just come. You understand? I'm going to preach. I'm going to get in the lifeboat first. Then I'm going to preach to the people who need to get into the lifeboat. Does anyone follow that? So I'm in the lifeboat. It's Jesus. That's the one with the plug in. All right, I know I got to close. So let me tell you, there were 20 lifeboats, one missing the plug, 19. It's easier to do the calculation if I just tell you all the lifeboats made it. 20 lifeboats, each could hold 60. So how many people should they hold? 1,200. How many people were saved? 700. It's like 690-something. So how many empty seats are there? 500. The lifeboats all pulled away, and they gathered together. And they actually met and talked and realized they had 500 empty seats in the lifeboats. And so they discussed whether they should go back to save the people in the water. Now, the people in the water, you have to know that the water was like a large snow cone. What do you think the people were doing in the water? What do you think they were saying? What do you think? Help? Yeah, they were screaming and yelling and cursing. I actually have a whole other sermon on this because I don't have time. Back in the old days, I used to preach for 2 hours. I have all kinds of stories of believers witnessing. The Christians did the most witnessing that night that weren't in the lifeboats than they probably did their whole lives. Fascinating. Fascinating stories. But anyway, they were screaming and cursing and yelling. And the people in the lifeboats got scared and said, we can't go back. What if they tip over when we go back and they tip over our boats? And then we'll all die. By the way, it basically is impossible to tip over the lifeboats. And the people could barely move because they're so frozen. You had to lift them out of the water by yourselves. They couldn't. They were too frozen to pull down the lifeboats. But you understand fear, the screaming, the yelling. Here's what I want you to remember. Lifeboat number 14. Lifeboat number 14 was the only lifeboat that made the decision to go back and to rescue people. Lifeboat number 14. They went back and they saved as many as they could. Well, 1 hour passed by, and the other lifeboats, the screaming had died down. And after talking it through, the other lifeboats made a decision to go back as well. And so all the lifeboats then went back to help. But guess what? They only waited 1 hour. Guess what? They were all dead. Lots of people with life jackets in the water, but they were all dead. Because they just waited 1 hour. You know those lifeboats? There they are going back. But they're all dead. Those lifeboats remind me of churches. Remind me of churches. Churches know that they have empty seats. Churches know that, you know, you should be in the saving business. After all, you got saved. You're saved. But churches is scary. It's scary to reach new people. They might come in and not talk right, and they may not dress right, and they may have red hair. I'm talking about the guys. And it's scary. What will they do to the church? They might flip us. They might ruin us. They might, and a lot of churches talk about it, but they actually don't do anything about it. But listen, LifePoint Alliance, I want to be lifeboat number 14. Can you imagine the satisfaction of being in lifeboat 14 and realizing that you helped other people, you saved and filled up your lifeboat, as opposed to any other of the other people that lived in, you know, that had to live with their conscience in the other lifeboats? I want to be in lifeboat 14. I want LifePoint Alliance Church to be lifeboat 14. You with me? What does this all have in common to you? Lifeboat. Life preserver. Lifeline. Lifeguard. What do they all have in common? To rescue, to save, right? Save with a lifeboat, save with a life preserver, save with a life jacket, a lifeline, a lifeguard. His job is to go save people in the ocean. So today we start our new name, Life Point. You know what the point of our church is? It's to bring life to people. It's to save people. That's the point of why we're here, is to bring eternal life. Those who have Jesus have eternal life. Those who do not have Jesus do not have eternal life. And Jesus also said, you know, I've come to bring you life and life abundant. By the way, I don't believe that when Jesus says, hey, I came to bring you life abundant, that that means, as so many Americans are now saying it means in the last 60 years, that you're going to be wealthy, healthy, and lots of dough and all that stuff. That's only been true in the United States in the last 50 years. That has never been true for the apostles that all laid down their life. That has never been true for the early Christians in the first 300 years that were all killed for their faith and had no money. That's never been true for 2,000 years in the whole world for Christians that have laid down their life and usually were the poor and the scum and the rejected. But in the last 50 years, only in the United States is suddenly the abundant life means you're going to be wealthy. That's ridiculous. The abundant life that Jesus is talking about is a life walking with God and knowing His will and being used by Him to reach other people for the Lord and to have that relationship with the Lord. That's what the abundant life is all about. What's the point of LifePoint Alliance Church? We're in the job of bringing eternal life to people and abundant life during this lifetime where people walk with Jesus. I want us to be LifePoint Alliance number 14. Number 14. So let's look to the Lord. Father, I pray in 2017 that great miraculous things would happen in LifePoint number 14. That we would just, we need your help. We need, it's messy. It's scary. Maybe it's dangerous. I don't know. But Lord, with your help, and with your guidance and with your spirit, may we rescue others as we ourselves were rescued. We don't want to be a church that just talks about it. We want to be a church that actually does it. And so we ask for your help and blessing. Start even now. In your name we pray. Amen.